This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. So, to a Supreme Court possibly skittish about the changing language and rapidly evolving public sentiments on the Second Amendment, the Supreme Court has upheld assault weapons bans in New York and Connecticut by declining to hear an appeal from the Second U.S. Circuit Court brought by gun rights advocates who said the assault weapons ban, which was initiated and passed in Connecticut after the Newtown Sandy Hook shooting, violated the Second Amendment. I asked Eric Citron, partner at Goldstein and Russell, also a former clerk to Justices Sandra Day O'Connor and Elena Kagan, and a guest contributor to SCOTUS blog, to explain why there was ample reason for the court not to take up this case.
Sure, there are two reasons. One is that there wasn't any split in the lower courts, or there wasn't any reason the court needed to weigh in. And the other is that the justices who have been most inclined to expand the Second Amendment and struck down these kinds of gun control measures have lost a key vote in Justice Scalia, and having only four votes on that side of the issue at best are unlikely to see it as profitable to grant these cases.
Meanwhile, as we look at the politics that makes this a headline, normally it would probably have just been a Supreme Court decides not to take the case. But in the wake of Orlando and thinking about what's going on in the Senate right now, there's a whole body of, I don't know if it's law, of whether the court would ever make a distinction between one kind of weapon and another. Has the court ever done that, first of all?
Sure. I think actually that is the distinction that gets made a lot in the court's gun cases. And I shouldn't say a lot. There aren't that many of them. But, you know, the court has a famous old case about fully automatic machine guns. And there are other cases about sawed-off shotguns and other things that are viewed as clearly used for criminal purposes, where the court says there is no Second Amendment right to have that kind of weapon. Famously, recently, the court said that a total ban on handguns was inappropriate because of their role as an ordinary firearm and in defense of the home. So that's the distinction that the court often ends up talking about, and it would be an uncomfortable one for the court to be making at the same time that there is this robust debate in Congress and the public over whether or not there are certain kinds of guns that just go too far.
So as the Senate investigates the possibility of banning a purchase of weapons by people who are on various FBI watch lists of one kind or another, we're just beginning the case law of understanding whether the federal government can even do something like this short of an orderly procedure, maybe even a court hearing that would be required to do something like this. Is that correct?
Yes, or put another way, Congress is taking the first shot at answering these questions. It doesn't have anything it can point to in what the Supreme Court has said to say, no, that's too far or that's not far enough. It's going to have the responsibility for trying to both make good policy and good constitutional law, and then the court will eventually have to decide or maybe decide to silently bless what it is that Congress or the states enact. For now, the court is taking a back seat and is not intervening, and that means that laws like Connecticut's are going to stand.
Eric Citron is partner at Goldstein and Russell. He's also a former clerk to Justices Sandra Day O'Connor and Elena Kagan, and a guest contributor to SCOTUS blog. Thanks so much, Eric.
Thank you, John.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.